This is the problem. Take a pair of scales.
We people in the wealthier countries are getting fatter. In the USA, about two-thirds of the population are overweight, and about one-fifth are obese. Now, this has been happening despite an enormous increase in various weight loss diets. The latest research seems to show two main results. First, the actual diet doesn't matter, so long as you reduce your calorie intake and do more exercise. And second, while reducing your calorie intake is an important part of achieving and maintaining a healthy weight, a calorie that you eat may not add up to a calorie available to your body. A lot of diets tend to focus on the constituents of our food, the fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. And it turns out that you can make a lot of money by writing a book demonizing any two of these constituents, say the carbohydrates and the fats, and then claiming that only the remaining constituents, say the protein, is worth eating. Or they may claim that proteins and carbohydrates are evil, but that you can eat all the fats you like. However, research did find that the differing proportions of fat, protein and carbohydrate didn't really matter in terms of weight loss. All you had to do was reduce overall calorie intake in a way that was healthy to your heart. That is, low levels of saturated fats and cholesterol, and high levels of dietary fiber. The individual macronutrient choice, fat, protein or carbohydrate, didn't matter. Just the reduced calories with a bit of exercise. And now for the second and rather confusing claim that, and I quote, a calorie is not a calorie, unquote. Now, by the way, in the land of dietetics, a calorie is the amount of energy needed to heat up a kilogram of water by 1 Celsius degree. And strictly speaking, yes, I know, we should talk in kilojoules, where one calorie is about 4.2 kilojoules, but calories are so well known. Anyhow, the number of calories assigned to each food is based on a system set up by Wilbur Olin Atwater back around the year 1900. He simply burnt each food type, fat, protein and carbohydrate, in a machine called a bomb calorimeter, and then measured how much energy it generated. From that, he worked out how much energy there was in each foodstuff, depending on its relative proportions of fat, protein or carbohydrate. And this is the overly simple system that we still use today. Of course, wouldn't you guess, the real energy calculation is much more complicated. Now, for one thing, it costs your body different amounts of energy to digest different foods. So fats need only 2 or 3% of their inherent energy to digest them, while carbohydrates need 5 to 10%, and proteins need a massive 25% to unravel the tightly wound amino acids that make them up. So if you eat 100 calories of fat or 100 calories of protein, your body will have access to 98 calories for the fat, but only 75 calories for the protein. Second, the Atwater method deals with the total potential amount of energy in the food. But, for example, in the case of almonds, a significant amount of the energy, about one-third, does not get extracted, but goes straight through your gut into your feces. Food preparation is a third factor in the calorie is not a calorie story. Depending on the food, you will make a lot more energy available to your body if you first process it by grinding or pounding it to increase its surface area, or by cooking it, that's boiling, baking, grilling, sautéing, etc., or fermenting it. As an example, mice will lose weight when they eat only raw sweet potato, but they'll gain weight eating cooked sweet potato. And they gain a little weight when eating raw meat, but gain more weight with eating cooked meat. A fourth factor is that people differ from one another. Consider the length of the gut. Now, back in the early 1900s, some European scientists decided to measure the length of the intestine. They found that some specific Russian populations had an extra half meter of bowels as compared to some Polish populations. The longer gut meant that the Russians could extract more energy from their diet than could the poles. And of course, we all have different populations of bacteria and the like in our digestive tracts that can both extract more energy from our food and then leave for us greater or lesser amounts of energy. And finally, it costs us more energy to process whole foods than processed foods. So the weighty question is, how do we make a simple message about eating fewer calories easier to digest?
What does it mean? Why is it so?